Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. We find ourselves now in difficult and challenging times. Please join us on Thursday, October 26th, the 11th of Cheshvan, to commemorate Rachel Imenu's Yahrzeit. Hear words of inspiration from Rebbetzin Peshi Neuberger, Mrs. Slavi Youngrice-Wolf, and Mrs. Chava Prell. You can find the sign-up link on the ouwomen.org Tehillim 23 webpage. May our tefillos and learning be a schus for the memory of the Kedoshim, the safe and speedy return of our captives, for the healing of our wounded, the safety of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and help to protect all those fighting on the front lines. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Sefer Daniel Perek Bet. If you have not already begun to make a connection between a young man banished from his home who ends up in the king's palace, this parak will cement the similarities between Daniel and Yosef, who is promoted to vizier after he properly interpreted Paro's dreams. In our parak, Nebuchadnezzar also has a dream, but unlike Paro, not only does he not know how to interpret it, he doesn't even remember the dream itself. Rashi noted this difference in the first pasuk, which reads, Ubishnat shtaim lamachut Nebuchadnezzar chalam Nebuchadnezzar chalumot v'titpa'em rucho ushnaton yata alav. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep was interrupted. The same shorish of the verb referring to his spirit being troubled, titpa'em, is used with regard to Paro, but in a different verb form. Here it is in the hitpa'el, which usually refers to a reflexive verb, whereas there it is in the passive, nifal. Rashi explains, and his spirit was troubled, the Hebrew v'titpa'em rucho. Concerning Paro, it says in Bereshit Mem Aleph Chet, v'titpa'em rucho, for only the interpretation of the dream was hidden from him. But here, since the dream too was hidden from him, the expression is doubled, v'titpa'em, an expression of pulsating and beating. Rashi is also troubled by the chronology mentioned in this parak, and once again, as in the previous parak, quotes from Seder Olam Rabbah to clear up the confusion. He states, now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, it is impossible to say this, except that it happened in the second year after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So it is taught in Seder Olam, Perek Kaf Chet. The king summons all his necromancers, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, and commands them to tell him what it was he dreamt. Almost as striking as this threat to tear them limb by limb if they cannot tell him his dream and its meaning, is how the text switches mid-pasuk from Hebrew to Aramaic. Abarbanel suggests that Daniel left all interaction that took place in Aramaic, in their original language, so as to avoid other inaccuracies in translation. Others say that what was relevant for the nations of the world is in Aramaic, whereas that which was relevant for Bnei Israel, such as the behavior of Daniel and his friends in Perek Aleph, was left in Hebrew. The book continues in Aramaic until Perek Chet. From this point until it switches back to Hebrew, I will be reading all relevant psukim only in English. Nebuchadnezzar becomes more and more frustrated at the inability of all his wise servants to tell him his dream and its interpretation, that he puts out a decree to kill all the wise people. Daniel and his friends had unfortunately achieved this status from their meeting with the king in the previous parak. Before accepting his fate, Daniel inquired from the chief executioner why this decree had been made so hastily. He entreats him to give him one more day to come up with the dream and its interpretation. Daniel went home and davened to Hashem that the dream and its secret should be revealed to him and his friends, and that their lives would be spared. That very night, Daniel received the answer in a vision and woke up to thank and praise Hashem. Malbim explains that Daniel expressed his gratitude in two parts. First, he gave general thanks for all of Hashem's deeds in general, and afterwards thanked him specifically for his personal hashgacha, divine providence. He begins in Pasuk Kaf by praising Hashem's everlasting name, to whom are wisdom and might. In Pasuk Kaf Aleph, he declares Hashem's control of the seasons and the placement of kings. He acknowledges that it is Hashem who grants wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who know understanding. Malvim explains the perplexing statement that Hashem grants wisdom to the wise. It seems a wise person already has wisdom. He clarifies that a person cannot receive wisdom from Hashem until he has prepared himself in a natural way to become wise. Through this effort, one is in a position to receive the flow of Chachma from Hashem, which then leads to understanding, Bina, and then finally, Da'at, knowledge. Pasuk Chaf Gimel is where Daniel finally thanks Hashem for giving him personally the dream and its interpretation. To you, O God of my forefathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and now you have let me know what I requested of you. For the matter of the king, you have let me know. Daniel then returns to the chief executioner, Aryoch, who then brings him to the king. Like Yosef before him, Daniel attributes all his knowledge to Hashem as he relays the dream and its interpretation before the king. In Psukim Lamed Aleph through Lamed Dalet, Daniel describes from his dream a large and frightening form standing in front of the king. He begins from the top with a head of fine gold. The breasts and arms are silver, and the belly and thighs are copper. Its legs are iron, and its feet are a mixture of clay and iron. The image stands until one stone is hewn without hands and strikes the feet of clay and iron and causes the entire image to collapse. The only element of the dream that Daniel reveals is that Nebuchadnezzar is a golden head with his powerful kingdom. He does not say what the other metals and clay represent, except that they are different kingdoms and will each supersede each other. Chazal and Rishonim have given different interpretations as to which kingdom each metal represents. The classic explanation brought by Rashi is found in Midrash Tanhuma Vav as a related discussion to the different metals used in the construction of the Mishkan. The Midrash relates, Daniel saw these four kingdoms and was afraid. What did Daniel see? When Nebuchadnezzar had his dream and Daniel came to explain its meaning to him, he said, "You are the head of gold, the front and arms of silver. This is the kingdom of Babel. And after you, there shall rise another kingdom, its belly and thighs of brass. This is the kingdom of Media. And then a third kingdom of brass, which will reign over the entire earth, its legs of iron. This is the kingdom of Greece. And the fourth kingdom will be as strong as iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. This is Edom. Why is Edom compared to iron and clay? Just as iron is strong, so this evil kingdom is strong. But it is also compared to clay, because in the future, Hashem will break it like clay. And he saw the king Mashiach, as it is written, and you watched until a stone was cut. Reish Lakish said, this is the king Mashiach, and it struck the image on its feet, meaning all the kingdoms which are embodied in this image. Ibn Ezra takes a different tack, and he combines Greece and Rome as the third kingdom, and names the fourth kingdom that of Yishmael, the prevailing ruler of his time in Spain and all the lands in which he traveled during his lifetime. The Malbim follows the Midrash for the first three parts of the image, but then says that the two legs of iron and feet of clay and iron represent both Yishmael and Rome, who would switch off being the ruling nation. They would then divide into 10 rulers, represented by the toes, some powerful iron and some weak clay. Everyone agrees that the stone not hewn by hand which shatters the image is the Jewish people, who will rise up as the eternal nation when Mashiach comes, please soon in our day. Our parak ends with Psukim Mem Vav to Mem Tet, in which Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges the greatness of Hashem and appoints Daniel and his friends as leader over the affairs of the capital cities of Babel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We leave Daniel as he is placed at the gate, which reminds us of both Mordechai as a Jewish leader in a non-Jewish nation, and also the husband of the Eshet Chayil in the last parak of Mishle, who is known in the gates to all. Thank you for studying together Ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rachel bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel bat Shlomo.